Take our Bibles this morning and open up to page number 1. Genesis 1:1. So it should be page number 1 in your Bible. I told you a few weeks ago when we talked about how God is the giver and taker of life, and we're going through our stewarding life, or actually our stewardship series. That was the beginning of a series we're beginning in Genesis. And here this morning we're going to continue in that series. So on most Sunday mornings coming up this upcoming year, we're going to look at different stories found in the book of Genesis. And we're beginning this morning with the beginning. That's what the book Genesis, the word Genesis actually means, is beginning. And it's one verse this morning we're going to look at is Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, say, "Pastor, that's pretty basic. That's pretty normal." Well, to be honest with you, there is a fight going on about that. There is people who like to say that God didn't create the heavens, did not create the earth. There's lots of people out there who actually says God doesn't even exist. But here's a thought today, and here's a thought for the message. If we believe that God created the heaven and the earth, then that means everything else. Where do we find that out? We find that out from the Bible. And that means if that's our source and everything in there is truth about that verse, then that means we can believe the rest. See, Genesis is the book that states many things for the first time. It talks about creation, it talks about man, it talks about woman, it talks about the Sabbath, it talks about marriage, it talks about family, labor, culture, murder, sacrifice, languages, redemption, cities. You learn where the races come from. You learn why we maybe look a little bit differently, or why we talk a little bit. The book of Genesis teaches us so much. And the truth is, many people are fighting against this because they want to believe something else. See, if you believe in the Bible and you believe Genesis 1:1, that God created the heaven and the earth, then that refutes atheism. It proves there is a God. See, it also refutes polytheism, that there is only one God. There's not many gods. It refutes fatalism. It's not by chance, but instead it's by a divine decree. It refutes evolution. It's God created. It refutes pantheism. See, God and the universe are not the same. God created the universe. Amen. And there is questions Genesis answers. And then when you think of this book, you say it's something from the beginning, but there's a lot of questions that the book of Genesis answers. And you look what it says in verse number 3 at the beginning. It says, "And God said." You go down to verse number 6. "And God said." You go down to verse number 9. "And God said." You go down to verse number 11. "And God said." You go down to verse number 14. "And God said." And you keep on going in verse 24. "And God said." 25. "And God made." Verse 20, "And God said." Verse number 17, "And God set them." You got to understand the whole system of Christianity. The whole system of Christianity depends upon the accuracy of the statements that are made in this book. If these statements are inaccurate, if God did not create the heaven and earth, then Christianity is like a building without a foundation. It is the declaration of the first statements which state the permanent values that are found throughout the whole Bible. It is all based upon this, that God created the heaven and earth, and this is what Christianity is found upon. Now, the book of Genesis is not something that man has discovered. It's something that God has revealed to man. See, lots of times people are out there looking for what they can discover and what they can learn. But what we have here in this book is God's revelation to mankind. You know, any thinking person, I know there's lots of people from all different types of backgrounds, all different types of social statuses that are sitting here, but any thinking person would ask these questions. Maybe the question is, where did I come from? You know, who made all of this? Why am I like I am? Where am I going? And see, in the book of Genesis, it teaches us all this. It teaches us that God, at the beginning, created the heaven and earth. And it teaches us that he created all this. And then you say, where did I come from? Well, we learn that when we see that God creates Adam. God creates Eve. And then they have children. So we know where mankind comes from. You say, well, why am I the way I am? You say, Pastor, sometimes we all know you don't have to teach someone how to be bad. You don't have to teach someone, because all men have a sinful nature. You don't have to teach somebody how to misbehave or how to say no. Usually that's one of the first words that the child learns is no, because that is something that's in their nature. You do not have to teach that. You have to teach them how to be good. You have to teach them how to behave. You have to teach them. See, in the book of Genesis, it tells us that we are sinners, and that because of the sin in the garden, that's been passed down to mankind. And it tells us that we need a redeemer because of our sin, when the promise of Christ. It tells us so much and answers the question, where am I going? Because it tells us about a redeemer and how we can put our faith and trust in him, and speaks of a day when Jesus Christ is coming back and is coming as the Messiah, but also coming back. All that's found in the book of Genesis. And that's when it comes down to this spot. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. See, the book of Genesis speaks in terms of revelation made to man rather than being a record of discoveries made by man. You have to go to the Bible to get God's revelation. You have to go to the Bible to get what God has, his opinion about mankind. And once again, we use the word opinion, but in all reality, we see the truth that is in mankind. You know, we like to have differences of opinions. We like to think all different types of things because of how we feel. But if we believe here, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and we have faith in this book, then we learn so much about the character of God. And as we look through this, and you know, next week we're going to talk about the family. You know, there is a war on who created the world, creation versus evolution. There's a war on how is homosexuality okay. In chapter 2, the Bible tells us the truth about that. Chapter 3 tells us that we're sinners. Chapter 4 tells us about greed and jealousy and anger. You know, there's things that God looks at. You go down to the flood, there's so much you can learn. But it is truth that God has given us. It's the final say on these issues. If anyone objects to these issues, we should stand up and fight for it. I mean, it's you know, we should learn to be able to say, not with compromise. We should be willing to stand up and say with confidence, hey, God created the heaven and the earth. We should not feel sorry about that. Science and the Bible agree completely and totally. And you should not feel intimidated. Sometimes people tell me, hey, I believe in science. And I says, I do believe in science too. And I believe that science and the Bible agree with each other. And here, this book, God is telling us the information about ourselves. He is telling us what we need to know that we could not find anywhere else. Nowhere else could we have found who God is. Nowhere else could we have found who created. You know, if I ask people this when I'm talking to them sometimes, if they're willing to talk, I go and say, well, do you think God created the heaven and earth? And they say, yes. He says, where did I learn that from? I said, where do you learn that from? They says, I learned it from the Bible. I said, so you trust that part of it. The idea is having faith to trust in the rest. See, you know what? The evolution just does not hold water. The evolution is just, in my mind, foolishness. People do not like the fact that they will have to answer to a God, so they've come up with this idea to try to work God out of the equation. But in Genesis 1:1, it confronts us within just a few words. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. We can spend our whole life thinking that someday I'm not going to be accountable to God. But if we look at what the Bible says, it teaches us that we will all stand before God someday. See, and here's the thing is, the Bible, it is permanent. It never changes. See, you will never read one thing in Genesis and read something different in Isaiah. You will not read in Genesis and God created the heaven and earth and Isaiah say that God caused the Big Bang. You're not going to see that. And there are people today that take that theistic evolution and try to push it down people's throat and try to find a compromise. But with God, there is no compromise. It's either truth or not truth. And when we start this series, you say, Pastor, why are you going all the way back thousands of years ago? And it's so much we can learn because it is truth and it never changes. And you say, why is that? It's because it's God's word. Now, there's a lot of people out there that like to change the Bible, like to change words of God. You know, I don't know this to be sure because I didn't have a chance to look it up. I was talking to a church member this morning about the sermon a little bit, and he brought me to attention. He says, in the King James Version, you have the words, in the beginning God created and had the earth. But in many of the other versions, it says, in a beginning. See, there is the beginning. And that's the beginning of mankind. But see, you know what? You can have a beginning of a week. You can have a beginning anytime. But this is referring to the beginning. See, God's word is truth, and truth is permanent. And the Bible says, if you believe this verse, then you'll believe the verse that says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Here's the idea, is that the Bible's saying that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and later on in Titus it's saying that God cannot lie. In the book of Psalms it says the word is very pure, therefore the servant loveth it. So here's the truth of the Bible, is it's truth. It's everlasting. It's eternal. And the things that you look in the book of Genesis are things that you can take and learn for your life. Say, why is this important? The first thing, you see the questions that can be answered in the book of Genesis. Who am I? Where am I going? Why am I the way I am? Who made all this? You find that all in the book of Genesis. But the second thing is having faith in the Bible. Second thing is having faith in the Bible. See, in Hebrews 11:3, the Bible says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, listen to these words again and let it sink in. It says, through faith. Most of us, if we're here today, would probably have no problem believing that God created the heaven and the earth, because the Bible says it. Now, how do we know that? Do we see God create it? No, we did not. Have we at all ever seen God himself? No, but we see proofs of his existence. And that's what it says in Hebrews 11:3. It says, through faith, is having a belief and trusting in something and trusting in his word. And remember, this is a foundational truth. Did God create the heaven and earth? Yes, and if God created the heaven and earth, we can trust in his word. And if we can trust in his word, then we can trust in all his word because he's God. See, if it's infallible, means without mistake. If I can't trust it in verse 1, then how can I trust it later on? Having faith in the Bible. If I cannot depend on the Bible, then in this verse of the Bible, then none of the rest is dependable. The whole point in faith is the key of the Christian life is faith. Either you believe or you don't believe. I was in Bible college, I worked as a manager at a Rite Aid drugstore pharmacy. We were open 24 hours. I did 9 o'clock at night to 9 o'clock in the morning. That way I could go to Bible college during the daytime. And I ran the store from nighttime. And even though the pharmacist made a lot more money than I did, he worked under me. It didn't make any sense. But you know, the person that's in charge of the store, you know, they run the store, but the pharmacy sits back there in a little corner. And there was this Indian man that we were talking, we became friends, you know, from 9 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock in the morning. You don't got a lot of customers and you develop friendships with the people you work with. His name, I think it was Cherub, and Cherubim, or Cherub, something like that. And it was an interesting name. And he told me he was a believer. He told me he believed in God. And we talked much about spiritual things. Then we came to the spot of creation. And he told me, he said, I don't believe creation is true. He says, I think all the stories that are found in the book of Genesis are myths. And they're like fairy tales to try to help teach us about God. And you know what? There's a lot of people out there that don't like to believe because they just don't want to have to answer to God someday. See, if you have that thoughts and if you have that reasoning, then you know what? You can take out the portions of scriptures you don't like. And there was another pharmacist that worked with me, and she said, I don't like this portion of the Bible when it came to ladies and the role that ladies, just because Eve had messed up in the garden and that because of that, ladies have all these problems. And I said, do you believe in what the Bible says? She says, yes, I believe the Bible. I believe all of it. And then I began to talk to her about scriptures. And I says, you know, a husband and wife are just as equally as important, but one person is supposed to be the head of the house. And we're going to learn that in the Bible and learn in the book of Genesis where God's opinion of the family. But what are we going to believe? Do you have faith in the Bible? See, it begins right here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. But so many times people want to take and pick and choose the parts they want to believe. It's either all truth or none of it's truth. And here's the thought, and here's the second thought, is having faith in the Bible. It is not a blind faith. It is a rational faith. It is not a blind faith. It is irrational. Even if we could physically see God, at some point in time, we would believe he, either we'd have to believe he is exactly who he claims to be in his word, including the fact he is unlimited in his power and infinite in his knowledge. But this does not mean our faith is blind and cannot be confirmed in some way. It also does not mean that the faith in the Bible contradicts science. God is giving us plenty of evidences that our faith is not a blind faith, but a rational faith. When we start with the Bible, we can see the evidence that are powerfully confirmed that God is what he has said he is. We don't believe God exists just because he says so. We have evidences that are around us. And for a second, I like to think about some of those things. So many times people say, well, if you need religion to have a crutch to help you through the day, that's nothing but, in my mind, is just trash. Because it's either we believe in the Bible and believe the God of the Bible, and there's evidences all around us. Think about, first of all, the fulfilled prophecies in all the Bible. We went through Daniel last year, and in the book of Daniel, hundreds of years before these, before the wars and before the nations ever came about, Daniel describes to a T the different empires that would come upon the world, the different world empires that would come on the scene. History and the Bible agree with it. They agree with one another. There is times where the God talks about a king hundreds of years before he's ever born, and he goes and the people show him his name found in the scriptures. There is the times when we see that Jesus himself and his birth was what? Told hundreds of years ahead of time where he was going to be born, that he was going to be born of a virgin, and that all these different things are going to happen to him. See, the fulfilled prophecies of scriptures is something that people do not like to consider. When a person says that the word of God is not true, that people did not create, God did not create the heaven and earth, they ignore the fact that the scriptures are accurate and foretelling the future. And this separates them from all the thoughts that this has to be all lies. It's filled with truth. You think about the resurrected Christ. You go back and you listen to what Acts 1:3 says. The post-resurrected Christ appeared to over 500 people. Many infallible proofs were given. You know what? People believe history from one eyewitness or from two eyewitnesses. But when John, Paul, Peter, Matthew, and Mark speak of seeing Jesus Christ, people just dismiss it. People try to hide the truth. People try to dismiss the truth. They try to cover things up. But do you believe in the beginning God created heaven and the earth? You think about nature itself. Nature itself, the Bible says, the heaven declares the glory of God and the firmaments show his handiwork. The Bible says, for the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and the Godhead, so they are without excuse. The Bible says that nature itself is so clearly designed, and the complexity of nature makes it so obvious that there is a divine creator, that there is no other way to describe it. You sit and think, and you go back to the book of Job and how it teaches us even about, I love that there's a spot in the book of Job that says, where were you, and this is not the quote, but it says, where were you when the foundations of the world were laid? God was speaking. He's saying, you know, who are you to say that I'm wrong? And you think if things were evolving all the time, don't you think we would see changes? And it's still, a sheep still has children twice a year at the exact same time, the exact same way. And, you know, thinking it has not changed. Amen. And nature itself teaches us this. Science. While people may not be able to scientifically prove the eternal, ultimate, almighty God exists, we can see how the Bible is consistent with science. You think about the account of the flood. You would expect to find billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the world, which is exactly what happened. We also see the universe is logical and orderly, and our Creator, as described in the Bible, is a God of order and logic. Ultimately, love, reason, knowledge, logic, and morality are all impossible to explain in a purely materialistic universe. None of that is able to comprehend. None of that could happen exactly by chance. And you say, Pastor, you're reading and you're saying stuff that we already know. Well, this comes to the main part of the message. If we believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and we have faith that God believed that, what should we do with that faith? You know, What should we do with our faith? First thing we need to do is put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thought. In this Bible, we learn that God's created everything. We learned a few weeks ago that he took man and he formed man in the dust of the earth, and says how he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. That all, according to what the Bible says, and we believe the Bible is truth, and that's what we just learned a little bit about, that the Bible is truth, and we know that because of its fulfilled prophecies, how it agrees with history, how it agrees with science, how nature itself speaks of the God and the creator of God. And if we believe in the truth of the Bible, then what are we supposed to do with the faith that we have? The first thing we must do is, the Bible doesn't just teach us that God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. You get chapter number 3, you see the sin in the garden. And then in Romans chapter 5, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all men have sinned. Now, that one man was Adam. Adam was the first man. And you say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Sin entered into the world through one man, by one man. And then you read that next phrase, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. So if it was all men, that means it had to be passed down through the lineage, passed down through Adam, passed down through Eve. There is no other people that were, in my mind, created before Adam. And there is no other, because it was passed down to all men. It says that all men have sinned. And so if we hear what the Bible says, that God created the heaven and earth, so what do we take from that? The Bible teaches us that if God created the heaven and earth, then we believe that. Well, if the Bible teaches that, then we must believe that the Bible says that we're all sinners. Not only does the Bible teach that we're all sinners, the Bible teaches us that there is a wage for that sin. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's the idea, is that if we learn to understand the truth of the Bible, and we believe that God created the heaven and earth, we believe all the Bible, and the Bible teaches us and tells us that God's word is eternal, and it is final, and it is truth. And if the Bible is true in Genesis 1:1, it's also true in Genesis 6:23, when it says the wages of sin is death. The Bible is also true when it speaks of a place called hell. There are certain portions of the Bible that we do not like. There's certain portions of the Bible, verses of the Bible, I would like to take out, to be honest with you. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And to be honest with you, I don't always want to forgive. That's a verse of the Bible. If I could choose one to take out, that would probably be one of those. Be anxious for nothing, or be careful for nothing. You know, I like to worry sometimes. We talked about that last week. It makes me feel better. It makes me feel like I'm in control. But in all reality, that doesn't make me in control. It makes me less able to accomplish things because I'm not giving my worries over to God. But here, if we believe the Bible and we believe the Bible to be true, are you trusting Him as your Savior? The Bible says we're all sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. Have you ever asked Jesus Christ in your heart to save you? Now, I know that most people here today would say, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven. Okay, well, praise the Lord. So let's go back all the way to the beginning. If we believe that God created the earth, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, okay? I mean, most of us would say amen. Most of us say we would agree. I know most of you don't like to say amen that much, but we would all agree here. God created the heaven and the earth. And I would guess that probably most people, and I don't want to say all, because I know that people sit in auditoriums on Sunday mornings lost and on their way to hell, and they need to be saved, and they need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you believe God created the heaven and earth, if you believe this is God's word, I can show you from God's word that you need to be saved. It's clearly put in there. God says He's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. He says that in His word. We can show you that, and we'd love to get the chance to show you. Second thing, if you have enough faith to believe that God created the heaven and earth, and you believe this is the word of God, and you have enough faith to be able to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save your soul from burning in a horrible place called hell, then shouldn't we have enough faith to live for Him today? I mean, once again, we're going all the way back to the beginning. We're saying that there was nothing, that God moved upon the face of the earth. And there was nothing here. And out of nothing, God created the heaven and earth. He spoke into existence. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God put, and God did. God did all these things in the beginning. He did this. And we believe that. And then we believe enough of the word of God that I am a sinner and I am deserving of to be eternally separated from God because of my sin, and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I ask Him to save me, then praise the Lord, I'm on my way to heaven. Then we believe that much. We believe enough to believe in creation of all things. We believe enough to put our most valuable thing we have, our soul, into the hands of God. Now, why don't we now live a life of faith? See, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. See, it's not just the fact that it's not just the fact that we're supposed to believe he created us and we're supposed to believe for him by salvation. The Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please him. So we are supposed to translate that, hey, if I have enough belief and faith in the scriptures to believe that God created the heaven and earth, I have enough faith and belief in the scriptures that God, that Jesus Christ died for my sins and I can put my faith and trust in him, then why don't I have enough faith to live according to this book today? So many of us are questioning the book where we should be living by the book. We take our time and wonder whether or not God means what he says. And I'm here to tell you, God's word has not changed. God's word will not change. It is pure. It is forever settled in heaven. That means before the foundations of the worlds were ever created, God's word was already settled in heaven. He knew what his word was going to say. And shouldn't we believe? Shouldn't we have enough faith, if we can believe in creation and we can believe in the fact that he can save our souls, shouldn't we live a life of faith then? Now, I'm just wondering here, I'm just thinking out loud, how come so many times we just like to pick and choose what we want to do and what we say? If we had the faith to believe that God created the world and the human race, we should also have the faith to say, God knows what's best for my life. Think what the Bible says in Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Most of us know those next two words. A what? A living sacrifice. That means that we give up our lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. And you continue on reading. And he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Which is your, what's the next two words? Reasonable service. It's not asking too much that you give your life over to God. He's saying, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, that he saved your soul, he's redeemed your soul, he's paid a price for your soul. Then why is it asking so much that we live for God? It's not. It's just that we had the faith to believe one thing, we had the faith to believe another thing, but over here, we want to do what we want to do. Stop questioning the book. Begin living by the book. Find out what the Bible says, and then live it. Stop listening to what others say. If we came from God, God will hold us accountable. Our sins can be forgiven. Faith pleases God. Faith and obedience work hand in hand. They work together. You know what? All those things are taught in the book of Genesis. All those things are taught that, hey, we came from God. There, you look around, there is nothing that God did not create. Yes, I know he created man, and man is the one that built the buildings. I get all that, but it all came from God, and God would hold us accountable. You know what? In this book, he held people accountable for their sin. He held Eve accountable for her sin. He held Adam accountable for his sin. He held Cain accountable for his sin. Why in the world do we just live our lives acting like we will never stand before God and we will never be held accountable for our sins when the book of Genesis tells us over and over, God will hold mankind accountable for their sin. He destroyed the world with a flood. Why? Because of the sin of mankind. Now, I'm not talking about that thing you see out in the movie theaters. That is not godly at all. Doesn't even reference God. Does not portray Noah properly. Does not portray God properly. Does not portray creation properly. It's anti-God. If you want to go and look and do some research on it, that new film, Noah. But we do learn something from the Bible. What is that? Mankind got punished because of their sins. And through here, we learn that there is a Redeemer that came to this world to save us from our sins. Chapters 1 through chapter 11 or chapter 12 teaches us so much. Teaches us who God is. It shows us where we came from. It teaches us where we're going. It teaches us why we are. Teaches all these things. In chapter number 12, God begins to call forth a nation. That nation is Israel. And then through Israel, Jesus Christ comes. And then you see the rest of the Bible points through that nation, the coming of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ dies on that cross. He buried, rose again, and then the church began. And then you see the church, and you see the pointing to what? The return of Jesus Christ. Do you have faith to believe in that? Now, we have faith, and we like to have faith to believe that our loved ones that have gone on are going to heaven. And I like to know that, too. I have loved ones that someday I'm looking forward to seeing. We like to have faith and believing and knowing when we're struggling and when we're sick and someone's in the hospital bed and they're lying there and we can't do anything. It's out of our control. It's out of our power. That we like to have the faith that know that God can heal them. why can't we have the faith just to live for him? Day by day, do what the Word tells us to do. To meditate in his Word. Memorize Scripture. To read the Bible. To pray. To invite people. To talk to people about their souls. You know, for husbands to love their wives, or wives to submit to their husbands. You know, whatever the Scriptures say, if it's true at Genesis 1:1, then isn't it true all the way through? I contend with you it is. I contend with you that the words of God are pure. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you have enough faith to believe that God spoke and the world became into existence in 6 days, boy, shouldn't we have the faith when he tells us what we should do with our finances to believe? Shouldn't we have the faith when he tells us how to act and treat our boss or our employee to believe? Shouldn't we have the faith in how to obey our parents, young people? Who cares what the TV says? Who cares what your friend says? The eternal God says something in his word. And that's what we need to get to and understand. And when we begin this series of Genesis, it's going to be about God. And how we can learn about God. And the first thing God teaches us, bam, page 1, chapter 1, verse number 1. He reveals everything to us where we could not learn from anywhere else. No one else could have told us that God created those things those first 5 days because they weren't there. He reveals to us. It's not something man has figured out on their own. It's not something man has learned. It's not something man has observed. It's something that we know because God told us. And if we have faith in that, then we should have faith in the rest of the book. Like I said, there are portions we just don't like. There are things that we would choose to maybe look past and say, you know what, I don't really like that part. But by faith, we believe. By faith, we live. So let me ask you this question. Let's just kind of boil it all down. What am I supposed to do with this faith? Okay, I believe that God created the world. Have you accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Because the Bible from the beginning says that man will be punished because of their sins. He shows us later on that that sin's been passed down to all of us and we all need a Savior. Are you saved today? Are you on your way to heaven? If you're not, during invitation time, come forward. Let me have somebody take a Bible and show you from the Bible. Or you can wait for me till after church and I will show you from the Bible why I believe that every person is going to be personally accountable to God, and they will stand before God someday to see what they did with Jesus Christ. But if you're saved and on your way to heaven, then what part of this are you not living? What part of this are you not living? What part of the book are you saying, I just choose not to believe that? Because if we believe that he created the world, if we believe in enough to save our souls, what else can we not believe him for? We can trust him for all things. We can trust him in everything. Yes, the world is getting farther and farther away from God and getting more and more anti-God. The media, the music, the movies, everything else is going farther and farther away from God. But the question is, are we going to believe in the Bible or not? Do you have faith in the Word of God? It has fulfilled prophecies. It agrees with history. It agrees with science. Nature itself speaks that it had to be a divine creator. Where do we learn that from? Genesis 1:1. God tells us it, and that's truth. It's eternal. It will never change. Whether the whole world chooses not to believe or not, it will always remain the same. What is it in this morning? What are you doing with your faith? Maybe you had the faith to believe in God's worlds. Maybe you had the faith to believe in your forgot your soul. But do you have the faith to live your life? Live your life according to this book. Now, as I close, I want you to understand, we could have spent hours up here refuting evolution. We could have spent hours up here just talking about all types of different things to prove that God created the heaven and the earth. But if you have faith enough to believe that, because he says it, that's enough. Maybe later at different times, and there's so much information, so much good information. You can go to Ken Hovind's website, you can go to Answer in Genesis. If you would like to know about creation, there is a plethora of different resources that teaches you the truth when it comes to the simple fact God created the heaven and the earth. And if you get that nailed down, you realize that there is a God, and I'm going to be accountable to that God, and I must believe in what that God says and where that came from, which is this book. Then I can believe in this book, and this book will tell me to get saved, and then this book will tell me how to live. It's whether or not I wanted to live it that way or not. I think there's many of us that are sitting today in rebellion. Maybe not outward rebellion. Maybe not where everybody else may see. But there's rebellion because we know what we're supposed to do. And we're doing something different. Just because we don't want to live to something we find in this book. This morning, let God help you with that. Let God speak to your heart about it. If you have the faith to believe he created all things, have the faith to put your soul in his hands, that we should have the faith to let him lead and direct our paths, and that we can trust him for how to live our lives, a life of faith. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.